This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
The theme of today is working mindfully with judgments and how can we use our mindfulness practice and other tools to help us with judgments, primarily judgments outward facing, although we can use the same tools for working with judgments that are inward facing. And I learned this work originally from a colleague of mine, Donald Rothberg, who's done wonderful work exploring judgments. And he's also, I think he's writing a book on it right now. And there's just so much to say, but I'm going to hopefully this week and next week, we'll be studying this way of working with practice. So what are judgments? Judgments are harsh, typically, primarily negative thoughts of ourself or another person, or other things. It doesn't even have to be people. We can be judging a place. We can be judging an outfit. We can be judging, all sorts of things. They are accompanied, pretty much anything can be judged. Have you ever noticed that? When your mind gets very judgmental, it can be anything. They're accompanied by some kind of reactivity, which is like an aversion, a feeling in the body of dislike. There's tension in the body, and they typically lead to suffering, either suffering, just internal suffering, even in the act of having a judgment, or we speak or act from our judgment and then somebody else suffers. So they're problematic, right? But they're real. We all have judgments all the time. It's not like there's something wrong with us because we have judgments. It's just that when we're unconscious about them, they can lead to a lot of suffering for ourselves and others. Now, the judgment often shows up in our close relationships, but it could be also with people you don't know at all, or it could be with people you barely know. Yes, they might show up with the people we live with. They might show up towards our children or spouses or parents or relatives. It might be judgment towards people you read about in the news. The judgments can be anywhere from being very, very mild and brief to very strong and long lasting and really kind of stuck or entrenched. And one could argue that these judgments are the roots of most conflicts in relationships and in our communities. Now, here's the interesting thing about judgment. Sometimes, in fact, maybe we could even say much of the time, there's a significant amount of truth related to them. And I'm putting truth in quotes. So I'll explain why in a second, but there's a significant amount of truth in quotes. And that's the problem. And that's the hook. Because it lends it this quality of like, but this is true. So maybe this person that you're thinking of, they're very selfish and you know they're selfish and you've seen them act in ways where they've proven their selfishness to you. So it is true they are selfish. At least that's your assumption. But what tends to happen is that we have so much reactivity around it that the truth gets buried. We have so much like, I can't, blaming them and self-righteousness and what's wrong and this is a problem and right, all these thoughts and feelings and that we have. So the truth gets buried. Now, I will say there are judgments that are completely diluted. There are some, we might have a judgment that's either totally wrong, it doesn't have any truth in it, and sometimes you might also argue that in the end we never really know if we're right at all. But nonetheless, judgments are this. There is an element of truth, like you're seeing the world clearly, or you're seeing a person clearly, But then there's the reactivity. Okay. So reactivity I define as acting out of our habitual patterns without consciousness. So reactivity is sometimes in the past, for those of you who are here, who've been here when I've talked about the second arrow. It's that the first arrow is the experience, the second arrow is the way we think about that jerk. I hate this, I hate them, this is a problem, my life is ruined, they're going to ruin other people's lives, and so on. So that's the reactivity. Now, I do want to distinguish judgments from discernments because they're not the same thing. Discernments are it really is the truth part. It's the seeing something clearly, that's using our best thinking and our critical faculties to see something clearly. And that's something that I encourage. And of course, we should be doing this all the time, and that we should be celebrated for seeing something clearly. Judgments have an added layer of reactivity and self-righteousness, typically, when it's towards other people. Maybe not self-righteousness towards self, but it might be just like beating yourself up kind of qualities that are added on top of it. So of course, we can have opinions. Everybody has opinions. Opinions are fine and appropriate, but it's what we do with the opinions, is how we relate to the opinions. And so the example of like a judgment versus a discernment, let's say towards yourself, is you wake up in the morning and you slept in and you didn't mean to do that, and then you start going, I can't believe I slept in. That was so awful. I'm so lazy. I never get up on time. What's wrong with me? That would be a judgment. Versus a discernment would be, I slept through my alarm again. I really need to do this better. This is not working in my life. Right? You see the difference? One has a lot of reactivity. And then towards another person, an example might be you see someone act unkindly towards another person, and you go, oh, what a jerk. I can't believe they acted that way. That was just terrible. Right? That would be judgment versus, did you notice that that happened? And I see them acting unkindly, that I need to stop them. I need to talk to them. Right? That's a discernment. So I think we get the picture here, right? The long-term intention with the work that we can do around judgments and mindfulness is to preserve the intelligence and the insight and the that are connected to the judgment, and separate it from the reactivity, so that we can actually find what is useful within the judgment and not get lost and caught in all the stories and the reactivity that we have around it. So in a sense, it's like making friends with our judgments and also using them in ways that might make us act in skillful and helpful ways, either whether this is a judgment towards another person relationally, or whether it's, in a larger sphere where we're seeing something with clear vision, we're not lost in our reactivity, and therefore we can make a decision to act in a clear and smart and intentional way. So that's what I mean by making friends with judgment, preserving the intelligence, preserving the insight, but not being lost in the reactivity. Now, when you bring mindfulness to judgment, it's actually judgments that you might have towards self or other. It's actually really interesting practice, and it's like it's a doorway to transformation. We can have more self-discovery. We find out about ourselves. We find out what our habits and our reactivity. We learn about ourselves and about how we judge and what types of things we judge and what triggers judgment and what reduces judgment. And we can see our sense of self very strongly and learn to release the hold. And ultimately, as we get to know ourselves around our judgment, we can transform our hearts towards a more, what we might think of as a more generous perspective, that our response isn't, that person's a jerk and I hate them, but oh, this person is suffering and I'm going to be able to bear with this. And we might even have compassion. Sometimes that might arise in relation to judgments. Keep in mind, it's not a quick fix. It can take many years. It can be linked with our judgments can be linked with old unconscious patterns, with our history, with our stories, with our traumas, with our, so it's not like 5 minutes of mindfulness and you're judgment free. It doesn't work that way, but it's a very interesting practice that we can play with. So, what are some mindfulness tools that we can use? I'm going to go over a few of them this week, and then we're going to explore it a little bit, and then see when I show up next week, we'll do some more. The first tool is, I mean, it's adjacent, is just the setting of intention to use your judgments as a path of growth rather than as a path to beat yourself up even more. I think sometimes we think, oh, I've been meditating. I kind of think of myself as like a spiritual person or a person who's dedicated to compassion and kindness. Why am I so judgmental? What's wrong with me? And so instead of having that perspective, we can have a different perspective of, I'm going to use this as fodder for my own growth, for my own deeper understanding. And so we can set an intention to make this a really interesting practice. The second thing is what we might think of as self-observation. Self-observation, and this is probably a main thing that I'm going to ask us to play with in the coming week or so, is to notice what we do, but not try to change it. So, in other words, we often have judgmental thoughts, but do we have a lot of judgmental thoughts? How often do we have judgmental thoughts? Maybe I don't have judgmental thoughts. I mean, I don't know. I see the question, how do we deal with other people's judgments about us? I'll hold that for a little while. But I will get to that. And then someone said, I'm just seeing the chat now, turn the judgment to discernment. I guess that's a way of talking about it. Like we take it from the reactivity, which is the judgment, and turn it into clear seeing, which is discernment. That's a nice way of putting it. So self-observation is an interesting kind of practice because self-observation is something you can do about any aspect of your life. I'm going to learn about myself through mindfulness of self, mindful self-observation. So what is that like? Well, the main thing, as I said, is it involves not trying to change yourself. I think what happens when people see something that they think is like quote unquote wrong with them or something they want to change, they immediately jump into, okay, there's something wrong with me, I have to change it. But oftentimes there's a period of what we might think of as like gathering information. Like, how much do I judge? How much do I consider myself a judgmental person? Is it mostly judgment towards self? Is it judgment towards others? And so it's really an information gathering period that we call self-observation. So we use our mindfulness practice to, you could take a day, you could take a week or however long it is, to just to notice, like, oh, there was another judgment. That's interesting. Not, there was another judgment, let me fix that. Oh, or there was another judgment, I shouldn't be having that. It's gathering information. So it's just like, oh, there's a judgment. Oh, I notice that when I'm really sleepy, I judge all the time. I don't know about you, but when I get really tired, I get really crabby. My daughter just knows that's what's coming. So if I'm really tired and she's like, Mommy, can you talk to me in the morning? Okay, I'll talk to you in the morning. Because I'm more likely to be obnoxious to her or mean or say things that I regret because I'm tired. So when I start to see the patterns, I know that's not a good time to engage. So you might discover that you're not so judgmental of other people, but the judgment tends to be more towards oneself. Or you might notice that your judgments are in a specific category. Like, I'm always judging people. I'm making this up, but I'm always judging people's haircuts. Everywhere I go, I'm judging haircut. I don't know what it is, but it's the haircuts that are so weird to me. Why is that? Or it might be that when we're scared, we judge ourselves, other people. So this is kind of later on, one begins to do a practice of like inquiring more deeply and sees that there is there are usually triggers to our judgments. And I'll talk about that more. I'm not sure I'm going to have enough time for that today. We'll see how far I go. But for instance, just as an example, when I'm feeling lonely, that's a trigger for me to be more judgmental. That's like an example. When I'm feeling, for me, I was saying when I'm feeling exhausted, that's a trigger for me to be meaner, you know. So we discover through the self-observation practice, we discover about ourselves, and we have to have a really like beautifully non-judgmental mind about our judgments. And it's not easy to do because once we start seeing it, it's kind of like when you read a new word and you've never seen it before, and suddenly it shows up everywhere. You've had that experience, right? So we might, when we start to look for judgments, we're like, oh, we're judgmental. Oh, there's judgmental. I was years ago, I've told the story before that I was working with a group of young girls, and I think they're around 13, 14. And we were talking about judgments, and I asked them to count their judgments. Typically, well, yeah, to count their judgments, either judgments to themselves, or others, to really to pay attention. Like, this is an exercise. How often do I judge? And so they came back, and I had forgotten I'd given them the assignment, and I saw them a month later. And one girl came up to me, and she said 642. And I was like, 642 what? And she said, judgments. I was counting judgments. Well, it turned out not only was she counting her own judgments, she was counting everybody else's judgments at school. So anytime somebody else said something judgmental, she'd say, judgment 97, judgment 200. What was interesting about it was like, it was light, it was funny. Rather than there's something wrong with me because I'm judgmental, either towards myself or towards another person, I'm noticing it with curiosity, with all the qualities of mindfulness, curiosity, openness, a willingness to be with that experience. This is a compassion and attention that we can bring to our judgment. Because, you know, what I do want to say also about judgments is they're not, it's not like you woke up in the morning and you said, today I'm going to be very judgmental. You know, or I'm going to hate myself today. It's not like that. They're conditioned. They're part of our makeup, and they come from society and family and the media and our peers. And there's all these different reasons. And sometimes they're rooted in trauma, and there's a lot of reasons why we judge ourselves and others. So to be really gentle, kind, caring to ourselves as we just say, okay, I want to do this as a self-observation practice to understand how judgments work in my heart and mind. As we begin to do that, the next step will be to basically to work with mindfulness of judgments, and then see how do we really bring mindfulness right into the heart of the matter when we're in the midst of judgments. So, for instance, one of the simplest things to do is just to use the label judging, right? So when we're doing this as self-observation, but then kind of the next level is to just is begin to catch it, like, oh, judging, there's judging, judging one, judging two, judging three. We can count it like that little girl. But to label it, and we've done this in other practices, with other things, like, you know, worrying, or you know, there's like any other kind of label of some sort of difficult emotion. But noticing judgment can be, it can be self-judgment, other judgment. So labeling it is very helpful. And then feeling in our body what we're feeling when we're having a judgment. So that's the really interesting place. It's like we have to slow the whole thing down to get into that place that's noticing what's happening in the moment of judging. Because what's happening when we're judging is we're having like a reaction, and you can even tune into it and feel an underlying unpleasantness. And so we're going to explore this. We're going to do a meditation with this in a few minutes. But it's like, I don't like that, or I don't like that person, or I don't like that aspect of myself. That is a feeling of aversion that we can start to notice. And as we notice it, as we breathe and sense, we can allow it to be there. And we notice the feelings of unpleasantness. And then we notice typically another thing that comes with judgments, which is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is a feeling. You know, if I were to just ask you right now to think about something, it's a little hard to kick up, but what we can try for a second, see if this happens, to think about something you feel really right about. Don't even worry about being self-righteous, but like, I am right. Just think of something really simple, like you can think about your politics. I'm not judging your politics. I may very, very much in agreement with your politics. Who knows? But just to like feel the feeling of like, I'm right. Or actually, stop. I got a better way. Think of someone that's really bugging you right now. And maybe there's a sense of like, they're a jerk or I don't like them. They're a jerk and I'm right about that. So just take a moment to play with it. We're really playing here. Like, that person's a jerk. I'm right about that. See if you can feel self-righteousness. And if you can, you may or may not be able to, but if you can, what do you notice in your body connected to self-righteousness? Okay, let's pause for a second. Were you able to access any of that, a feeling of it? It's a little hard, as I said, it's a little hard to kick up, but what do you feel? Did anyone feel it? You can put it in the chat. What did you feel in your body when I said that feeling of, and I'm right. Can you put language to it? Sort of in my chest, near my lungs, a contraction. There's a rumination on the rightness, pain, clenching all over. Okay, great, great, great. You're all feeling it. Constricted, anger, explosiveness. Great. I sound so enthusiastic about your anger and explosiveness, but what I just mean is I'm glad you're able to notice it, because self-righteousness is kind of like it's like the fuel to the fire. Because self-righteousness, even though it can feel constricted and painful, it often feels really good too. It's like, I'm right and I should be right, and it's good that I'm right, right? So there's like a negative and a positive. It's like a bittersweet kind of emotion. And like when we're really feeling self-righteous, that feels great. Right? I am right and they are wrong. So we want to tune into the complexity at the sight of the judgment and the reactivity. Like, what am I feeling right now? Yeah. So someone said, I feel that I'm better than the other person. It's a kind of arrogance. Yeah. And so if we're able to do it, and keep in mind that this takes time to be able to do it on the spot. It may be that you work with it afterwards. Like, let's say you spend a week just observing your judgments, and then the next week you want to try to bring mindfulness to the judgments. I used to do this as a 6-week class, so this is just we're kind of smushing it into a couple weeks. But if you were to start noticing the judgments, you notice, okay, judging. And then you drop your attention into your body. What am I feeling? My heart's racing. My stomach is clenched. I have these thoughts. Ooh, this feels good. They are a bad person. I don't like them. Noticing, and just letting it be here and being there with presence and offering a little bit of compassion to yourself for feeling this way. And acknowledging that there's truth in what you're saying. So even in that moment, we're going to do this in the meditation in a few minutes. Even in that moment of, I'm right and it feels bad, it kind of feels good, it's complex, but there is truth in there. And maybe there's truth connected to maybe the person did something harmful. And so you're judging them. And that's a normal response to that. So how do we be present in the midst of the complexity of judgment to make space and let the reactivity be there? And sometimes what happens as you're with the whole thing is it begins to, I like to say, metabolize, like move through us. And we open to peace and ease and like a sense of, need to judge, and we haven't lost the truth of the thing that we're judging them for. This is best case scenario. It doesn't always happen like that. It's best case scenario. But I want to just clarify that it is the turning towards, which we've talked about, that allows us to hold with a mindful space and a compassionate space the whole complexity of the reactivity and the judgment, and allow it to move and shift and come to a kind of a better place. I mean, in a simple way of talking about it. So sometimes also when we're judging, there's a lot of thoughts going on. That person's a jerk, why did they do it? Or I shouldn't have done that, or I'm a jerk. But when we go into the feeling, we short circuit the thoughts. Our mind doesn't need to go into the thinking about it. We can just be with it and be with ourselves with compassion. It's tricky, and it's interesting. And what we're going to do in a little bit is explore what I'm talking about. So right now it's on the level of theory, but we'll play with it. So just to kind of complete, there's still a lot more of how we work with judgments. Another area which we won't do this week is inquiry. In other words, asking ourselves questions about it, learning about it. This is typically done after the fact, not in the middle of a judgment. And we'll do that next time. And then there are a whole set of tools that I'll offer you for working with judgments and things that cultivate the opposite. Like as we practice loving kindness practice, we find ourselves less turning towards judgment. Just like deepening in the positive emotions practice releases the negative feelings. So let me answer that one question that someone asked about how do we deal with other people's judgments about us? And then someone said, other people's opinions of us is none of our business. I read that once. Yeah. We don't have control over other people. We don't. I mean, just as much as we judge people judge us. Just deal with it. I mean, just want to say it, like, be real, right? People judge you. Your kids judge you. Your parents judge you. I don't think your dog judges you. I'm just looking at mine right now. I think that maybe the only creature that never judges is the dog. Cats probably do judge you, don't you think? I don't know. But everybody judges everybody. This is going on all the time. So the only thing we do have control over is how we relate to it. We can't change them. There might be a time where it's appropriate to say something to them, right? And I didn't talk about that. So I'm going to go back to that one important part about what do we do later, essentially. Just looking at my notes. Give me one sec. So when another person is judging us, it's like, how do we bring some compassion and kindness to us and not take it on? We don't have to. It's like they're handing us a hot coal. We don't have to grab the hot coal. We can bring kindness. We can bring compassion. We can get some support from a friend. Is this reality? Is this true? Is there something I need to work on? We can bring our own discernment to the other person's judgment. We can remove ourselves from a situation where there's a very judgmental person. Not that we can always do that, but there are different ways to work on the other end of receiving judgments. And it's not easy. It's hard when people judge us. It's really, really hard. And that's why we need a lot of love. In the Buddhist world, there's an expression that's often used about the way it's called the eight worldly winds, the truths about the world. There's always things change. There's pleasure and pain, and then gain and loss. And it's like the wind; it just blows through us. There's gain, and then the next thing we know, there's loss. There's pleasure, and then the next thing we know, there's pain. And one of them is praise and blame. And we might be experiencing praise, and then the next thing we know, we're experiencing blame. It's like the wind blows differently. And I think there's something really important about developing the depth of practice that can allow us to meet even the blame and the judgments that people do, foist upon us. So the last thing I want to add is that when sorry, I'm just that is that when we're feeling judgment towards ourselves or towards another person, and we can disentangle the reactivity and arrive at the truth. Sometimes action at that point is needed. And that's when it's really, really important to honor that we're not trying to disable our judgments so that we'll be like, mush balls that never have opinions about anything and that we can't, act for what's right or anything. That's not the point of this practice. The point of it is to understand. And there's often a lot of healing that happens as we bring kindness to these parts of ourselves and to reduce the judgment, but also increase the discernment. We're seeing clearly without reactivity, and we take action when needed. Okay. So I'll pause for a moment and see if there are any comments or questions. I do see someone whose dog, their chow chow, judges them. So, all right, there are a few dogs that can be quite judgmental. Wendy wrote, if I were to catch myself being self-righteous, I could see myself being self-judging. Yeah, I mean, we have to be careful when we're doing this work not to judge ourselves for being judgmental, right? It's an easy thing to do is to be like, I'm so judgmental. What's wrong with me? I'm so self-righteous. Why am I doing that? I have a problem. I'm so self-righteous. So we have to be really loving. This is a very loving practice. Any other comments before we do the meditation? Someone said family judgment is really hard. Yeah, I mean, family is the hardest place in some ways to practice. Many of you have heard me say this quote. I think it was from Stephen Levine who said, the reason why our family is so good at pushing our buttons is because they installed them, right? They installed our buttons, so particularly our parents, right? So yes, it's hard there, and we may feel judgmental to a family member, and that means it's a great place to work. And it doesn't mean we're ever going to be like these perfect, judgment-free people. It's not that, but it's the dedication to bringing your heart here to explore because it's a place that we can untangle and have more spaciousness and ease. And I'll tell you, I feel like after years of doing these practices and just doing basic mindfulness practices and loving kindness practices and working with my own judgments, particularly my self judgments, and then I'm less judgmental. I am much more compassionate. I feel like I don't, I mean, I still have judgments, but the degree that I had them when I was younger and before my practice, and then over the early years of my practice, that has shifted significantly. And one of my favorite people always talks about how they, oh, he felt like he was a very bitter person, always judgmental, self-judgmental, but particularly judgmental to others. And after practicing for 30 years of meditation, he says he's like a mushball in the best sense of the world, the word. He feels loving. He goes towards generosity. He's still judgmental, but he's very, very just open-hearted. And these practices do change us. Someone asked the question, how do you relate equanimity and discernment? Seems like the former is necessary for the latter. Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and it's I think the answer is not cut and dried, but it's like that quality of equanimity, that even-minded and balance allows us to see with discernment. And equanimity is a state of non-reactivity. So it's really, in some ways, it's the same thing that I'm talking about. When we have equanimity, our mind isn't reacting, It's an unwavering, balanced mind, and from equanimity we can see clearly. So it's basically the same thing. Right, let's try a meditation where we explore the feeling of judgment. We're going to explore, like, what is judgment in our experience, in the moment of having it, and how do we work with it? So let's settle in and take a minute or two to get quiet and come into our bodies, minds, hearts. Notice what's here. So I'm going to ask you, and I'll give you a little time to think of it, but I'm going to ask you to think about something you're feeling very judgmental towards. And let's not do it towards ourselves. Let's think about something we're judgmental towards someone else or something in the world you're judgmental about. I wouldn't pick like the most intense thing, like I'm judgmental about climate change or something. You know what I mean? But like, let's pick something that's I'm judgmental of this the way that my sister does this thing, or I'm judgmental of, I don't know, you think of something that you're judgmental of. I'll give you a moment to come up with something. It could be a family member, it could be someone you don't know so well. So once you've landed on that thing, feel your feet on the ground and take a breath and just feel the solidity of your body on the chair. And now, for the sake of the exercise, we're going to bring the judgment up. And if at any point it gets too intense, open your eyes. You can go back to your breathing, but just bring up this thing, the thing that you're feeling judgmental towards. And say whatever words that are the words connected with it. And as you say those words, notice what you're feeling inside. What's happening in your body as you say those words in your head? And if you notice constriction, tightening, pressure, just let that be there. Just breathe. We're just getting very curious about it. And notice your feet on the ground. Take another breath. And see if you can tune into that quality we explored before, the feeling like I'm right. The self-righteousness piece. If it's there, it may not be there, but if it's right, it's like, yeah, they really hurt me, or they're really behaving like a jerk, or whatever it is. What does that feel like in your body? And take a breath, letting whatever is here be here. And if you need to remind yourself of the words, you can say it. And notice the feeling. And now offer some kindness to yourself. And what were some kind words you can say? Or you might just imagine holding yourself in kindness. Yeah, I know you're mad about this. I know this is hurts. Oh, there's a lot of judgment. And breathe. It's okay to have the judgment. Remind yourself it's okay, it's normal. that you're here for yourself. And notice what happens in your body as you offer some kindness and space and allowing whatever is here to be here. And ask yourself the question now, if you're feeling a little space, you may or may not be, like, what is true about this situation or this person? What is if there is there anything that is true in my judgment? And then when you notice what is true, that maybe you are right about it. Imagine holding that view, but without all the reactivity, the self-righteousness, the aversion feelings, the judging thoughts. What if you could just say, yeah, this is true. This person does tend to be selfish sometimes, and that's hard for me. Bringing compassion to yourself for having to deal with the situation. Yes, this is true. This person it does ignore me. And that's hard. Yes, this is true. This situation is dot, dot, dot. You fill it in. And that's hard. Offering some compassion, breathing. Notice what's happening inside you. And maybe notice there may or may not be, but is there any clarity about a way you might want to be with this person or the situation? Maybe a way you might want to be different. Just to notice. And now bring your attention to all of the people who are currently doing this practice, who are struggling with judgment, judgment of self, judgment of others, and just wish them well and say, yeah, we're all in this together. We all judge. There's nothing wrong with us. In fact, we have some wisdom here. And when we can see things clearly, we can act with clarity. But when we're lost in the reactivity, we don't know what we're doing. We're just mad. So imagine that all of us can see clearly, and out of that clear seeing comes clear acting. Or just offer a little compassion to all of us for the struggle of the judgmental mind. Okay, notice your feet on the ground. When you're ready, you can open your eyes. Okay. All right. So just to get for me a little feedback on the meditation and any questions that came up. I see one in the chat, but if whoever wants to put into the chat anything that they want to share. And in the meantime, there's a question. So without judgment, how do you make choices? If you're discerning, isn't discernment based on judgments better versus worse, integrity versus non-integrity? Michelle, I think we're just sort of using different language for the same thing. We can discern with the clarity of and the wisdom, right? Versus when I'm saying judgment, I'm thinking about all that extra stuff, the additional, like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with you? I hate you. Stay away from me. I'm never going to talk to you again. Blah, blah, blah. That's judgment with all the discernment versus the discernment being rooted in integrity. The discernment seeing clearly, oh, this person is acting badly. I don't think that's right. It is wrong. So that's I hope that I'm answering your question. So people were doing this practice and they reported openness, self-insight. Someone saw that most of their judgments are self-directed. Actually, it's really, really, really common. Some of us do send it inward. We shoot the arrow at ourselves. I can see a supervisor who has distanced themselves from our team during our challenges without as much anger. Okay, that's great, Sharon. Like just to see them a little differently when you're not caught in your reactivity. That's exactly what we're talking about. It's a huge area to explore for me. I can feel the potential and can't wait to learn more. I found myself sort of having compassion for the person I was judging. Oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry to hear that. No, that's great. That's wonderful because this is what it does. We begin to open to seeing from a different position. It's kind of like when you're judging, you're looking through a little dot, a little circle through a narrow slot. And then when you stop, when you open up, you can see much more. There's more depth and understanding. And the recognition, which is bittersweet, that you can't change them, so you can work with yourself. When I notice that I judge someone, I tell myself there may be a reason for their action. Yes, so these are all, this is great. So both of these are other tools. Remember, I said there's a list of other tools that we can use to also work with the judging mind. So, for me, it seems to be constant comparing myself to others. Yes, you're not alone. A lot of us do that. We compare ourselves to others. And so this is going to be my invitation for those of you who want to practice this week is to just to notice how self-judgments occur in your day, or I'm sorry, not self-judgments, judgments of any type, but is it like someone said, it's mostly comparing or it's mostly towards myself? So bringing that open self-observation that I talked about quite a bit to your judgments. Then if you want to go into the second phase, which is to bring mindfulness into the judgment itself, you can play with that. But that would be like extra because it's a little bit harder, but you're welcome to do it. The anger I feel towards one of my in-laws usually makes me feel shame because she drives me crazy, but also I feel so bad about it. This helped me realize there can be the challenges from them, but I don't have to be so reactive. That's awesome. That's fantastic to hear that. Yeah, you can like it's like bringing realism in. Yeah, this is situation. It is true. Remember I said that in the meditation. This is true. This thing you're doing is really challenging and it hurts. But I can have a different reaction to it. So we can play with it this week and then we'll pick up when I come back next time. So, kind of towards the end, I think maybe since we will stop here for today and let's just offer, oh, one last comment. There's helpful, especially in the current political state. I recently moved in and meeting new people, and I start to cringe when they bring this up. This will help me to stay calm. Yes. And so as you work on this on a individual level, then there's the relational level, and then there's like a global level. So we can play with this. I mean, the judgments are the same. It's the same practice no matter what we're working with. So definitely, Terry, use it in those outer situations. All right. Lovely to be with everyone. Everyone send a little kindness to each other. Pick a square and send some kindness out. And it's so good to be with you all. You can go off mute and say goodbye. And I will, if you wish, I'll see you all next week. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.